From India's largest newsroom, I'm Arun George, and this is the Times of India podcast.
Addition of sugar is done not because of they have very strong regulations and we don't have. The problem lies that the people there don't tolerate such things, so the noise by the people actually matters a lot. For me, it's a case of exploitation.
A report revealed global food manufacturer Nestle was adding sugar to cereals that are given to infants under the age of 2. The report by Swiss NGO Public Eye and the International Baby Food Action Network or IBFAN said that Nestle sold baby products with higher sugar content in some regions and sugar-free versions in Europe.
After sampling about 115 products sold by the FMCG major Nestle, sugar content was found in both its Cerelac and Nido brands.
Nestle India has issued a statement saying compliance is an essential characteristic of Nestle India and we will never compromise on that.
As our guest on today's show explained at the start of the episode, markets like India, Africa and Latin American nations have sugar in their baby food primarily because we are more tolerant and complain less. Dr. Arun Gupta, who's a pediatrician and convener of the organization Nutrition Advocacy in Public Interest, says that the law in India prevents the promotion of infant food, but companies may have been going around it. Dr. Gupta, who has also been campaigning for better health information labeling on packaged food, explains why it's not just sugar that makes something like baby food bad for health if consumed in large amounts. He also spoke about the recent sanction against so-called health drinks and how mis-selling of food as being healthy can be tackled. We started by asking him to explain just how big Nestle's infant food formulas are and why it's a matter of concern if they're adding sugar.
With something like a Cerelac or a Nido or such products, many people believe that it's sort of golden age was maybe about 20-30 years ago. Could you talk about how popular these products are presently and really how much are they used? Do we have a sense of that?
There was a law that was enacted in India in 92, which bans the promotion of these foods. Since the law was not effective, it was further amended in 2003 to take into consideration that any promotion of such foods be banned. So after that, the televisions and the print media and all that stopped advertising these foods. And below 3 years, whatever milk-based foods are available in India, their growth is very slow now as per the international data of Euromonitor. And if you compare what India is selling today, somewhere around 30,000 tons of baby milks under the age 3, which includes formula as well as these powder. And in China, this is about 600,000 tons in a year. This law has been effective to that level in that sense. If we did not have this law, this would have been worse. After the enactment, the law needs enforcement in a way that it is not promoted, because I find the promotion goes on in social media. Even today, if you go and find Cerelac on YouTube, there you will find people demonstrating it, how to prepare it and all, which I don't know, you know, whether they are individuals or paid by the companies, I have no idea. But the promotion is banned by law. So if that can be controlled, slowly we can put a... And because inherently it is an unhealthy product. It's not just about this sugar content. Inherently, it's ultra-processed. It contains milk powder, which according to WHO cannot be sterile. If you dissolve in water, for example, or put in hot water into it, and you keep it for a long time, the bacteria can flourish in it.
The IBFAN report says that the Nestle products had sugar in it. So why does it matter if baby food has sugar? Like I know you made the larger point that overall the product itself shouldn't exist. So what happens if we do give babies sugar at that age? As in, the common perception would be, but it's just a little sugar. What difference would it make?
I think if you go by the scientific and the advisories of the World Health Organization, not that people don't need sugar, right? That's not the question here. By and large, it says that the babies can get about 10% of their diet. Adults also, not more than 10%. But for adults, the WHO has also recommended the daily intake to be about 25 grams. It shouldn't exceed, but 50 grams is the upper limit every day. Now, coming back to the addition of sugar in the product. So, if the baby is getting its breast milk and the kind of sugars in lactose and all in the breast milk, they are very helpful to the babies. Such additional sugars, they work as a precursor of obesity. And that is a precursor of all the non-communicable diseases like diabetes. When in 2016, India released a report, there are 5 to 19 years age children, 56% of them showed biochemical markers of non-communicable disease. So if such products are given such an early age, it affects your metabolism and finally it affects your health later in life.
For a lot of babies, say we may add sugar to their food a little. And I'm saying a baby food maker could argue that, look, you also add a little sugar. We're doing the same thing. What is the problem in that sense?
There are two things here. One is exposure to ultra-processed food, which may or may not have high sugar, high salt, high fat, but most of them are. So ultra-processed foods are inherently unhealthy. Once the Nestle's own report was leaked and the Financial Times about 2 years back, their internal document said that 63% of all the Nestle food products which are available in the market manufactured by Nestle are unhealthy. Because they are unhealthy in nature, it is very difficult to change also by reducing a little bit of sugar in them. It's like an addictive product. And the science behind it says when you eat anything with sugar, you tend to eat more, whether it's your food only if you add sugar in that, you tend to eat more. When you tend to eat more, the consumption increases. For a food product of industrial nature, the industry has only one thing in its objective, to make profit for the shareholders. So for them, it's okay for once the sales are up, right? The shares are up. So the problem lies in the continuity of it on a daily basis. And how much you take daily, maybe 2 doses or 3 doses of this, how much it goes. People don't know actually that they have added sugar in it, right? That's another point, the knowledge and the awareness about it. And they might cross their daily intake because the other food which people are using for themselves or for their babies may also contain sugar. When it comes to prepackaged foods, unless you are a very good label reader and interpret it in such a way that you can calculate the amount of sugar, which is usually an added sugar, is not the only issue. The total sugar is the issue. It's an inherent sugar in the product itself, and then you add on. So that is the whole sugar which matters.
What for you explains the fact that the amount of sugar kind of rises the poorer the country it is? And like you said, it's not there in the Western ones. Why do we see such a big discrepancy?
I think the discrepancy is that we have weak regulation. The regulation currently, what is available in the food safety regulation about this particular food item, is that it allows use of sucralose and all to make up for carbohydrates. Secondly, the law itself says that up to 20% of the total carbohydrate, you can add sucralose, which is added sugar. So we must get away with that clause if you really want these products to be free from added sugar. There is no other way to actually do this. And the companies know it very well, where they can manage things and where they have the influence on the regulators. So the regulators also keep on saying we have to keep in mind the interest of the company. Now, it's not about the interest, it's about the health. So the Food Safety Authority comes into existence to ensure food safety, not to look into the interest of the companies. They have to regulate the companies to ensure food safety. A couple of times I have experienced talking to the food safety officer, where they clearly say that they have to take into consideration the interest of the industry, whether it is a small or medium industry, whether it is the big industry. There is a documentation on this, that how big industry partners with the country's programs and all, like the beverages, the Pepsi Colas and other stuff. They partner with the government's programs to put themselves into a good guy label. So that all that actually ends up in weakening the regulation.
One aspect of this is also the fact that this report also talks only about Nestle. Nestle isn't the only manufacturer of such products. What does it then mean for everything else that's there in the market as well?
Yeah, we checked a few days back. We found the sugar's contents were very high in infant formula or follow-on formula. They even lie that on their front, they say no added sugar. Right? Lies. And if you look at the label, very small words, you find the added sugar is there. And somebody adds some other stuff and say, we don't add this refined sugar, for example. Companies create confusion in the mind of people because they know that if they add sugar, it will be consumed more. You know, that's a simple fact.
Like you said, you know, not everyone says they've added sugar, but would any, say, honey or any other sweetener be more acceptable as this sort of addition to baby foods? Or should it be that we don't add any kind of sweetener to these cereal-based foods?
They should be treated as sugars for the point of health. And little iron in the jaggery and then the preparation of honey as a natural thing. Yeah, there might be some difference in the processing part. But when it comes to a product which is industrially produced, now whether you do it this way or that way, to me, it's sugar only.
But in terms of action taken, how good are we on that? Do we have a record, or rather a good record, of pulling up people who do violate this law?
There is a basic flaw in this implementation operation. The Ministry of WCD, Women and Child Development, owns, by the business of rules, owns this law. And I haven't seen any action from them for years. But the whole law actually operates in the domain of health system. The law also says, the statement of objects of the law also says that it should be implemented in the overall control of the Ministry of Health. So we don't know why this discrepancy that it is allocated to the business of WCD. So that kind of incoordination does not allow this law to be implemented. At the same time, I don't see the will anywhere. We have written to Health Ministry. Sometimes they fire letters to people who are violating occasionally. Sometimes the Ministry has written to states to implement this law effectively. But that depends on the officer. There is no mechanism, in my view, which exists other than nominating a couple of agencies which do not do anything for last 30 years, like Central Social Welfare Board and Indian Council of Child Welfare, are also gazetted under the law. The government should spend money on it and create some structure within the government so that the industry knows that the government is serious about it.
So with baby food, we have laws to regulate advertising of these products, but we don't have implementation of food standards to ensure that they don't have added sugar. In the case of so-called health drinks, which are usually powders that add to milk, Dr. Gupta says there's almost no health benefit that can justify them being marketed as healthy. We asked him why these products remain in the market, despite us now knowing that they're mostly just sugar, to make it tasty and addictive.
Moving on to this so-called health drinks, which are products that have been marketed as health drinks, these are not for babies, these are for everyone above the age of 2 in some senses. Could you explain why they're still allowed to claim those very same things even today, despite, like you said, decades of knowing exactly what's wrong with those products and knowing that there is some health benefit, but it's a very limited one?
I don't see even a health benefit there, because other than a few calories get into your body, which 50% of all these things, sometimes more than that, are sugar, right? You remember once we checked this superfoods by Patanjali and Ojas Vita by Shri Shankar's and all that. You look into them, they'll see the amount of sugar in them. Sometimes it crosses 70%. You know, it's only now the last 1 year because of the noise in the public about Bonvita has this issue come up little more and reached some offices where they started taking cognizance of. Not only those, these kind of so-called these boosting health drinks, there are several other repackaged products are sold on being healthy, as a healthy immunity are the very key things which are being used for making people buy them. So that's marketing, actually. If you broader point here is that if the governments can consider food products, nutrition products, and health products out of the preview of the market growth and consider health as a priority, most of them are unhealthy, which come as prepackaged. Most of them may contain high sugar, high salt, high fat. So where is the choice there, actually? If the government thinks seriously, keep these nutrition and food products out of that window, that market doesn't operate on this window, then I think in the long term, it will create an environment where one can say, okay, now if you want something, you can go and buy. I mean, but there's no need of advertisement for that. This is our major work these days, that we are calling upon the government to do this. And let's see whether it takes, how much time it takes, actually.
Dr. Gupta says it may not be obvious, but the problems of baby food and so-called health drinks are linked by not just the amount of sugar they contain. He says there's mis-selling of products in both cases, and the government should be targeting the marketing of these products much like it curbed the mis-selling of baby food. He says one solution is to allow unhealthy foods to be sold without any public advertising and with greater taxation. He says it would also help if the government clearly laid down norms on what is healthy food and what is unhealthy food, so that consumers and producers can make informed decisions.
The adding of sugar, or then the Bonvita controversy, and then the protein shake controversy, these are not standalone issues. They shouldn't be seen in isolation. What happened in the protein shake is, the major finding is that there's mislabeling. They don't tell you what kind of protein and what amount of protein truly is inside. So that touches the labeling. The whole issue of Bonvita actually highlights the need of marketing control. Government cannot stop manufacturing these factories, and neither we are saying you stop them. All people will decide when they don't have these encouraging and emotional advertisement, they might not choose them. That raises marketing and advertising issue. The sugar in Nestle raises the issue of the weak standard, food standard, as well as the marketing of baby foods. I would say that if the government is serious, they shouldn't look at is 3 gram sugar in each scoop of Nestle's baby cereal. They should look at is, if they are setting up a committee, they should look at it as a whole new opportunity for the government to take a view first, what they need to do, control marketing, put a warning label on those with high sugar, high fat. It's been pending for more than 10 years. And put higher taxes on them and give incentive to the real food. What I am saying is also contained in the government's own plan, which has not yet been implemented. So government needs to define what is healthy food, what is unhealthy food. So simply, this is a perception that this is a health drink. Now you have said that this is not a health drink, it's fine, but there is no definition, right? If there was a definition of a health drink, if the government can define what is health drink, then it will be useful.
But it also sounds like you're saying that it shouldn't be left to the consumer, right? You're saying that it's never enough information provided to the consumer.
You know, government currently preaches that, right? Eat right, for example. So you eat right, maybe thinking that probably you are eating raw. So people don't think that they are eating raw. They are eating whatever they like to eat. The taste is a huge thing. Companies rely on the taste. है ना कंपनी का नेस्ले का स्टेटमेंट है उसमें वर्ड टेस्ट है वो कह रहे हैं हम टेस्ट के लिए करते हैं इफ द गवर्नमेंट इज सीरियस देन दे शुड लॉन्च अ कैंपेन द वे द फूड प्रोडक्ट्स आर एडवर्टाइज एंड ऑल्सो इंसेंटिवाइज दैट गोभी आप खाइए हमारा ये गोभी खाइए गाजर खाइए ये खाइए दाल खाइए ये खाइए सस्ती कर रहे हैं हम आपके लिए वो एडवर्टाइजमेंट की तरह हो रादर देन के ईट राइट If these foods are unhealthy, there is no point in not saying that. I remember a working group was constituted in few years back, which said that the sugar content in products cannot be reduced, for example, in ice cream, right? That they cannot be manufactured with less sugar. So my point to the group was that We are not saying to the company that add this much sugar or not. Whatever they want to add, let them add. The government has the role to fix up the standard, a benchmark that above this, you will not be allowed to do advertising or we will put a label on. That's all. People don't know about what is unhealthy. They will keep on consuming it because it is tasty.
Today's episode was produced by Jairaj Singh and Sahil Gupta. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We're available on TY Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, email us at tuipodcast@timesinternet.in.